welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions. Because it's time to dish the dirt. On the AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Daubin.
And hello there. I'm your sous chef of the garden.
Yes, you are.
What are you doing? You're
waving Charlie Daubin.
Waving. You look like you're brushing cobwebs away from the microphone here.
Well, I think I'm okay.
I'm all right?
Tangled up with my headphones.
Before I turned on my microphone, there was Charlie with all the cord of her headset in a great big bundle, and she's working away at it like
somebody
knitting, and they've got everything all balled up. Well, anyway.
Thanks for that.
Here we are. Hey, good morning, Christina. That's our producer in there. She's got a big smile. And
first voice you'll hear when you call.
First voice, and I'd better give the phone numbers.
Speaking of which.
Mm-hmm. All right, if you want to call the Garden Show and talk to Charlie Daubin, and who doesn't? 416-360-0740. Stop laughing. Stop it.
Yes,
and then
anywhere else
in the province is 1-866-740-4740.
So, was it cold enough for you this morning?
Now, I stay in the mid part of Toronto when I come in for Saturday morning, and it wasn't any frost there.
Oh, there was frost
at my
place.
Right around Casa Loma.
Yeah, it was sparkling at my house. Just diamonds everywhere.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Elliot, look out. He's talking heavy jewelry here.
No, it's very pretty. Yeah. But that's it. That's our first real frost. And I think across the province that last night was the first real frost for many of us. So down with the vegetables, down with the annuals. And what's interesting, of course, is that the weather pattern is such that it's all going to warm up again tonight. Apparently, it's going to be up to about 13 degrees this evening and as high as 18 or 19 tomorrow.
Wow.
During the day.
I'll get my Speedo out.
I was going to say. But it's going to be raining, so a good idea to keep the Speedo handy. But it will be, if it's not pouring rain, it'll be a great day to do that final cleanup of some of those, things that have gotten frosted and are now lying on the ground. Like my green peppers and that sort of thing.
Right.
It
could be then a very busy time for people.
Oh, it is. Absolutely. Yeah. All about winter's coming. And there's certain things we don't want to do until the frost has hit.
Yeah.
There's just things you don't cut down, perennials that you don't touch until the frost has really knocked them down. Hostas are a good example. Mm-hmm. My hostas have been looking good standing up until last night and this morning, and I could see the glaze on the leaves. So I'm sure when I get home later this afternoon, it'll be all down at ground level.
Wow.
Yeah. It's
nature. Mother Nature just takes care of everything.
I know. Yeah. Gardening is a cycle, right? And it's kind of neat, the cycle because you get a break. That's the nice thing about the winter. We kind of put it all to bed and we sit back and then we dream about next season and what we're going to do differently or do the same or do better.
Well, that's why people love that as a hobby.
It's absolutely.
Always something to look forward to.
You're absolutely.
By the way, I forgot our little mantra with our phone numbers.
Sure.
Call early, call often, one question per call. Now, you have a little note in your hand there.
I do. I don't have a lot of things going on to share, events, other than to tell you that next week, next Saturday, October the 20th, I'll be participating in an educational event that's sponsored by the Simcoe County Master Gardeners, of which I am an honorary member. Mm-hmm. So at 1:30 in the Simcoe County Museum, which is on Highway 26 West in Minnesing, I'll be speaking on a topic, how to garden better within a changing climate, which kind of goes back to what we were talking about, the cycles of the seasons, but also the changing cycles of the season that we're seeing. So the entire day is called Back to the Future, Old Techniques, Finding New Life. So it's an educational event for master gardeners, but it is open to everyone. If you would like to spend the day learning more about Back to the Future, Old Techniques, Finding New Life, don't hesitate to attend, particularly if you're in the Barrie area. It starts at 8:30 in the morning, goes right through to about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. For more information, go to www.mgoi, M-G-O-I, Master Gardeners of Ontario Incorporated .ca.
Very good.
Thank you very much. And we'll talk a little bit more after the break if we get a chance. planting garlic, because you've got something coming up on your show.
Mr. McCuskey, who is sort of the head honcho out there of this particular project.
Evergreen Brickworks.
It's the Garlic Festival.
There you go.
Two days.
So we can talk a bit about garlic. And we also want to talk a bit about trees, preparing our trees, being kind to our trees as winter is coming. And the other thing, if we get a minute, the whole idea of grub damage and what we see on our lawns now and what we can do now and prepare for next season.
You got it. Okay. It's 9:12, almost 9:13, come to think of it. And we'll be getting to talk to Arlene from Guelph right after these words on The Garden Show from AM 740.
Don't change the radio station. Just because the weather changes, garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
And the sous chef of the garden, Frank Proctor, welcoming Arlene back to the air. I believe you were our first call last week, right, Arlene?
Yes, that's right.
Good for you. All righty. What's on your mind
today?
Good morning. I'm calling for my daughter. She wanted to know if you can grow dahlias in flower pots in the summertime.
Oh, for sure. Of course. Did she grow some this year?
No, she hasn't tried them. I think she must have been talking to somebody else, and they've been growing them, so she thought she'd like to try it.
Oh, dahlias are so rewarding. I mean, there's a lot of different kinds out there, little short ones, but big tall ones are the ones we grow in the garden. They're called dinner plate dahlias because the flowers are the size of a dinner plate. Mm-hmm. The little shorter ones, or dahliettas, are what we grow in flower pots. The trick, of course, is, and this goes back to the frost we had last night, dahlias grow from a tuber. The tuber can be kept over winter as long as you can keep it frost-free. Can't leave it outside, can't leave it in the ground. It will just turn to mush. But, for example, the dahliettas that are in my garden, now that they've been frosted, will have dropped to the ground, and now is the time to dig up the tubers and dry them out a bit, or in the case of, just clean them up a bit, and then put them away in a frost-free, dark, and in the case of dahlias, moist location.
So she wants to grow the smaller ones?
Yep.
So that you get the smaller variety?
That's right. If she's growing in pots, suggest to her, the short ones. Nothing taller than sort of 12 inches tall and lots of sun. And, whatever investment she makes in the spring on the dahlias, she can maintain that investment because the tubers just get bigger and bigger every winter, every summer, and keep them and keep replanting them every spring.
Okay, then fine. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Arlene.
And let's see, it's 9:16. Oh, 9:17. Golly, time's moving along here. No. Rosemary in Fort Erie, anxious to talk to you. Oh, I think anxious. Hello there, Rosemary.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
I have hydrangeas, and I know my Annabellas that I cut them right to the ground, and they come up beautifully every year. Mm-hmm. But I have a hydrangea tree.
Okay.
How do I prune that?
All right, so it's probably a PG hydrangea. The flowers are on it now. They're conical shaped as opposed to round.
Yes, they're conical.
Personally, I don't cut hydrangeas in the fall at all. Hydrangeas. I do all my hydrangea trimming in the spring.
Well, I don't want it to be whipped where it is in the winter. It could get whipped a bit.
Okay.
I've taken the flowers off it every year, but I didn't know if I could trim it back a bit because it's kind of getting into my driveway.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That's the one reason we do trim in the fall, particularly with the case of a hydrangea. You can, like the PG type that you have, or paniculata, they can be trimmed in the fall and should be trimmed for the reasons you mentioned. One is too big, getting whipped around in the wind, branches rubbing together, or plant interfering with the movement of cars and people. Definitely do your trimming. Once again, you've had a good frost. Leaves are all going to...
No, we haven't had a frost.
No, I sure imagine you haven't. So, if you can wait, just wait till it's a little colder and completely dormant is what you want before you do any trimming. But just to mention, I like leaving the flowers on the hydrangea because I find them ornamental over the winter. They dry up and turn bronzy and they're quite pretty. And, of course, in the wind, they do blow off eventually. But they're pretty. I mean, they're something that I leave on for their ornamental value and trim it all off in the spring.
Well, they're pink right now. Mm-hmm. They're beautiful.
I know. They're gorgeous.
So, they're just like the other ones that form their buds now for next year?
No. Remember that a PG hydrangea is a late-blooming plant, so it does not set its flower buds now. It sets its flower buds next spring and summer.
Okay, so I won't harm it that much by taking down that one part where it's in the driveway.
Not at all. You can trim now, and then you could further trim next spring just for balance if you want to.
Right. Now, my Idabellas, I bought some new ones late in the season. Can I cut them down without any... I cut the flowers off to let it get its root system going.
Okay.
So can I cut those down to the ground like I do with my established Annabellas?
You can, and if it's just been recently planted, the Annabelle in the last, you know, month or so.
A couple of months.
Yeah, okay, well, with recently planted plants, we know that with the theoretically winter coming, ground freezing, potentially freezing and thawing, plants can get pushed right up out of the ground if they're newly planted. So with a newly or reasonably newly planted plant, don't hesitate to cut it down once you've had a good frost. I would put a little bit of leaf material or compost around the base just as a way to keep those roots protected from erratic temperature changes.
That's great. Well, thank you for all your help.
Thank you. Very welcome.
Thanks
for your call. Okay.
You are listening to The Goddess of the Garden. Yes, indeed. Charlie Dobbin is here and answering your questions. And I just thought, you know, there may be some people who, for maybe the first time, are tuning into this station saying, wow, this is neat, a garden show in Toronto. Yeah.
And you all won't have year. We garden all year
exactly.
on this show.
Exactly. And you might not have the phone numbers tacked up on the fridge.
Or in the speed dial,
exactly.
You should.
So here you are. Jot them down. Put them up on the fridge. 416-360-0740 for Toronto callers, and then anywhere else in the province, toll free 1-866-740-4740. Now, I just have, before we go to our next caller and a little bit of a break here,
I
have
see.
To start doing my exercises.
I know.
I'm warming up because it was chilly coming in this morning.
It was. Had to warm that car up.
And exactly.
I mean, you're in great shape. There's no question, Frank. I mean, you do definitely look after yourself.
I'm going to do knee bends.
And now I've got them going.
Doing knee bends
it's,
now. I'm over here.
It's the Lycra suit that drives me crazy. I'm not looking at him. The reason he's doing knee bends and is now stuck. No. Both Frank and I take Sierracil as a new supplement to keep ourselves limber and pain-free. Mm. It's all got to do with avoiding sore, achy, stiff joints. We find that Sierracil works for us if taken on a daily basis. If you're interested in more information, check them out at their website, sierracil.ca, or give them a call at 1-877-JOINT-14. And remember, you can pick up Sierracil at many of the local health food stores, including Essence of Life on Kensington Avenue and also Ambrosia Natural Foods in both Newmarket and Thornhill.
Sierracil.
Easy to get to, hard to leave.
Slowly, the leaves are changing into their autumn colors, just in time for new staycationing ideas for you and your family close to home. Take in a community theater play after a dinner out, visit an artist studio, or the $3 million Lighthouse Gallery in Woodstock. Get your copy of the popular Trails Guide and enjoy picking some pumpkins or exploring wild mushrooms and cedar waxwings.
Discover Oxford County.
For a complete listing of events this fall, contact Tourism Oxford to get your visitor's guide today.
Experience an intimate evening with one of Canada's greatest guitarists. Join Jesse Cook and his band November 10th as they rehearse for their Blue Guitar World Tour. Enjoy the Visa Infinite Lounge and chat with Jesse himself about his new album, The Blue Guitar Sessions. It's one of many exclusive events you'll find with the Visa Infinite Music Series. Check your wallet for a Visa Infinite card and visit visainfinite.ca to get your tickets. Check out even more great offers while you're there.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than we do realize. And should little creatures become a big problem, well, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
And it is your sous chef, Frank Proctor, here.
Also known as the undergardener.
The undergardener, that's right.
But you're very good at it.
Well, thank you. I'm short, so it all works out. Catherine in Toronto, good morning and welcome to the show.
Oh, good morning.
Morning.
Charlie and Frank.
Thank you.
I phoned last week, Charlie, and you gave me wonderful instructions about my abutilon.
Mm-hmm.
And I did everything you told me to do as well as I could.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's sitting in an unheated room in the basement, but I've just got it like the sort of the root ball with a lot of earth around it. I did soak it.
Right.
And it's just beautiful. It's standing up there with all these gorgeous little orange flowers dangling. But what I'm wondering now is when I fully plant it into the pot, which it isn't, it's not planted yet, what kind of soil, just planting soil, is that okay?
What I would use is a potting soil.
A potting soil.
Right. Because remember when you go to any garden center or home center to buy soil, there's kind of two kinds. One is the potting soil, the other is the garden soil.
Okay.
So remember topsoil, garden soil, triple mix. Those are all soils that are designed to go into the ground.
Oh, that's what I wondered.
Yeah, they tend to be too heavy to put into pots. They don't allow proper air circulation. Yep. So any good potting mix, and you'll see there's lots of them out there. Many of them are what we call a soilless mix. So they're peat-based.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, and the nice thing about the potting soils is they're completely sterilized. They're usually packed dry in the bag, so they're nice and light to get them home.
Mm-hmm.
But do moisten the soil before you start working with it and planting the plant into a pot.
Well, is it going to be wrong to leave as much of the earth around the roots that are there now?
Well, so what did you do? I know you dug it up out of the garden, and then you've given the upper part of it a wash. Did you kind of give a wash to the roots at all, or soak it at all?
Well, I soaked it.
Okay, soaped it. Did you say?
Yes.
Yeah, and then you've run the soap through, or the soap is still sitting in the soil?
As far as the roots were concerned, I only immersed that in water.
Oh, okay.
There was no soap in there.
Okay, and when you took it out of the water, I imagine a lot of the soil kind of washed off the roots.
Oh, some of it
did,
yes, but there's still a fair amount there.
Yeah, so what I would do is leave the soil that's there.
Yeah.
And if it has been sitting out for a couple of days now in your basement, in your cool basement, and you go out and get the pot and the potting soil, say today, when you go to place that root ball into the new pot with the new potting soil, just have some scissors or pruners handy and trim off any of the roots that are protruding out of the root ball that might be all kind of dried and wizened looking because they've dried out. They're not going to do anything. Trim them right back.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Now, just a couple more about the same thing. I'll need to prune the top, won't I?
You will, but that can come later.
Okay.
Unless it's just too big to have in your house. But it's in the basement now, I'd leave it alone for now.
How will I know when?
Big pruning in March. Put it on the calendar and we'll talk about it then when we're on the show. And you can certainly call and we can talk about it then as well.
Okay. And you think it's okay for me to leave it where it is in the basement?
It's getting some light there at all?
Yes, it is.
Okay, perfect. Yep, sounds perfect.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Okay,
right.
Thank you. I love how they... Oh, it's about the same thing. So, fair enough.
But you can also tell how much Catherine wants to keep that plant alive.
Exactly.
You're getting a sense that's a bit of a family member
now,
right?
I can just picture in my mind right now, in her little date book, she's writing down haircut. March.
Well, for abutilon, also known as a flowering maple. It's a tropical plant, for those of you that are wondering
very nice.
What's going on there. Or little orange bell flowers, very pretty.
Okay. Now, I want to clarify a name here. I see it as Nitsa. Is that correct, Nitsa? In Pepperlaw?
Hello.
Hello,
yes,
good morning.
Hello.
Yeah, I barely hear you.
Oh, how are you doing now?
Oh, okay.
It's okay. All right.
I have a question. We have 7 fig trees, 2 hibiscus, 3 citronellas, and 1 jasmine. I don't know how to handle it for the winter. What do I do with them? And the figs already have little figs on it.
Aww. So you've got fig trees and you've got jasmine?
Yeah.
And all of these have been outside all summer?
Yeah, in pots.
Mm-hmm.
Big pots.
Right. So, how are these new plants, or have you had them for many years?
No, new this summer.
Okay. So, we had a guest on the show about a month ago.
I'm sorry, I barely hear you.
All right, so, tell you what. You hang up your phone and listen to what I'm going to tell you.
No, now it's a bit better.
Okay. I was just going to say, we had a guest on the show, Stephen. Oh, man. I'm going to look this up. I'm blanked on his name because he did. Remember, he's the fig pig.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
He gave us all. He just has a recently published book. So I'm just going to flip back, give you a website. And it's
hanging up because I cannot hear you.
Okay.
I hear you on the radio. Is that okay?
Perfect.
That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So just going for the people out there with fig trees, because there is a, you know, grow your own urban agriculture, whatever it is. Figs are interesting plants. They cannot withstand the kind of weather we have mm-hmm. outside. But given a cool location, figs are not hard to overwinter, whether it's a unheated, insulated shed, or it's, in the case of Stephen Biggs, who was our guest, he had a basement bathroom that was unheated that he used as his overwintering fig location for a period of time. But now he's expanded his collection, so he had to build a special place for them. Bottom line is, figs are kind of all the rage. There's all kinds of people growing figs. So here's a suggestion for how to overwinter figs. Rather than me getting into the whole story, because there's many ways to do it. Depends what your possibilities are for burying the figs, bringing them inside, you know, on and on and on. Couple of different websites. Probably the easiest one to go to for finding Stephen is www.grow-figs.com. And so growfigs.com or noguffpress.com, and you will find there's a, he just put a whole book together that's it's great, and it's all about figs.
Yeah, so, and go figure.
Exactly. And jasmine yeah. being a tropical plant, we've been talking a lot about abutilon, we've been talking about hibiscus, and jasmine's exactly the same. It's, you got to get it inside before a frost. You know, give it a soap wash, shower, and clean it all up, get it inside. And I'm not sure if you've had a frost in Pepperlaw yet, but I sure did at my house. So I've got a few things tucked in my garage that still need to be soaped before they can come in the house.
Okay. Well, we know what Charlie's got to do on her chore,
exactly,
list of chores.
List of chores for tomorrow.
Well, let's see what's going on there in Markdale. Valerie on the line. Good morning, Valerie. Welcome
Good
to the
morning.
Garden Show.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I was wondering, we have hostas that are still in the pots.
Mm-hmm.
Can you put them in the basement and keep them till next spring and then pot them out?
What I would do is, do you have any place in the garden where you could just take those pots full of hostas and just...
No, there's nowhere right now.
Okay. So you can't just bury them in the ground somewhere?
No.
Have you got a protected corner somewhere where you could just leave them outside? The only reason I bring this up is, yes, theoretically, you can bring those hostas inside. However, they will start to grow if they get any light and if the temperature is too warm. And they will grow very thin and sparse and unhealthy. So if you've got a nice, dark, cool location in your basement, for sure, once the hostas are dormant, get them down into the dark, into the cool, put them away, check them every month or so. You may have to water them once or so over the winter, but they should be fine as long as that they don't start growing on you.
And on the same topic, do you wait till they get frozen and then put them down? Or?
Yes. Yeah, wait. I mean, you would be just like me. You will have had a real good frost last night, I'm sure, if not earlier this week. So the leaves will have all turned to kind of a glassy texture, and then they just drop to the ground. So out there with your sharp pruners, preferably when it's not raining, so not tomorrow, but if you can get out today, trim off those leaves and then just put them in undercover for a few days. Well, it's going to be very warm in the next couple of days, so just let them slow down a bit, go completely to sleep, and then get them inside down in the basement within the next week to 10 days.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for joining the show, and it is The Garden Show here at AM 740 in Toronto.
I want to interrupt for a second. Just to clarify, the reason we're talking about things like hostas in pots going into a basement, hostas are hardy plants. They should be able to stay outside, no problem. The difference is that in pots, it is much colder above the ground than it is in the ground.
In the ground, right, you are.
And our caller was calling from Markdale, and so Markdale's up, you know, Shelburne, mm-hmm. Beaver Valley area, so it's cool up there. But they're not going to die immediately. It's not going to get that cold that fast.
Yeah.
What will kill those hostas sitting in pots above ground will be 10, 12, 15 below zero type temperatures.
Mm.
They're fine down to probably 2 or 3, even 4 degrees below zero, because that's not going to kill them. It's the extreme cold that will kill them.
And the problem with bringing plants indoors, you know, over the winter now, mm-hmm. is that the times now are so much different than when houses were built years ago, when you did have a cold cellar.
That's right.
You know, very few houses
have. That's right. Most of us have insulation and big screen TVs in our basement.
Exactly.
There's no opportunity for overwintering stuff. So that's right. And that could be of an impact as well. And depending on the kind of hosta and depending on the kind of winter we have, I have a hosta that's been in a pot above ground on the eastern side of my house and has survived every single winter for at least 5 or 6 years now with no winter protection at all, just sitting in a wooden box at the side of my house. It survives and comes up. Now, leaves sit on top of it all winter, and then I pull the leaves away in the spring and it grows back. It's a very hardy little hosta, and it's been fine, but I'm perhaps a little warmer than Mark Dale. And it totally depends on what kind of winter we have.
There you go.
Pray for snow.
Yeah, unlike last year.
Well,
we really do need snow.
Well, and a friend of mine in Ottawa emailed yesterday afternoon and said, "Oh, it's snowing in Ottawa." So it's like winter's come.
I think we're going to get slammed this year.
I'm good with that.
Okay, she's game for just about anything. Doug in Lindsay, let's hear about your lawn grubs.
Morning, Doug.
Charlie mentioned said something about white grub just as I turned the radio on. I didn't know whether it was something you were going to discuss later in the show or what.
Well, all I wanted to share with everybody, and it's a good thing you called because it is a good, really topical point. There's a lot of grub damage out there. Lawns are showing a substantial amount of damage from grubs chewing this past fall. So it is too late now to apply those parasitic nematodes that we talk about because it's just too cold. It's just not going to happen. The eggs will not hatch. Meanwhile, the grubs have gone down and are moving down to get below the frost line. So right now, what we do is we make a note of the damaged areas in our lawns where the grub damage is clearly evident. And you know, this is the get out the daytimer. You're making jokes about people, making notes for next time.
Make a little map of your lawn.
Well, not just that, but get out your little date book for next August and say, apply nematodes now. Because you know that if you have grub damage now in certain areas, you're very likely to have the exact same damage in the exact same place next August.
Well, I did apply the nematodes about a month ago.
Okay.
And it's not just them eating the grubs eating the grass, it's the skunks eating the grubs too.
Yeah, that's right. So that's the trick. If the nematodes are applied properly, into a moist lawn with lots of watering afterwards, and there's good, the little eggs have to land on the backs of a grub, hatch, and then they proceed to start chewing the grubs and eating them. It's quite lovely. That all has to happen perfectly. Now, a few grubs sometimes get missed, and meanwhile, you're right, the skunks sniff them out, and they're out there digging holes and making a mess of your lawn. It's a problem, and that will be a bigger problem next spring, probably. You'll see skunks and potentially raccoons doing some digging, and it's great that they're eating the grubs for you, but in terms of fixing your lawn, don't worry about it. Wait till about May next year to do any proper leveling and fixing and reseeding or sodding.
I see. And then in August, put the nematodes on again,
following those instructions to the T.
And just one dose of nematodes.
Well, how big is your property? Is it a really quite large?
No, it's not. 50 by about 30. The lawn area.
One dose should be fine. There's supposed to be like 8 million eggs or something in the one dose.
Because I was able to cover it four times with a proper sprayer.
Oh, were you? Yeah. Okay. So when I've done it, I've just done it with a watering can. So, and I just really concentrate my water, like I water my watering can full of microscopic grub eggs in the area and the perimeter of where I see the damage.
Right.
Really concentrate where you're seeing the damage.
Right.
And then water in, of course.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay,
thank you, Doug.
Good luck with that, Doug.
Thank you.
The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin on the air at AM 740. Let's take a little trip here to Guelph and say hi to Jack. Hey, Jack, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I was wondering, we're talking about lawns. I have a very large lawn, and I've lost 90% of bugs and grubs.
Oof.
And I've been told if you spray your lawn with soapy water, this gets rid of them. Do you know anything about that?
Soap can be very effective at killing insects as long as the application is sufficient to absolutely coat the bodies of the insects. soap actually causes them to suffocate. Little bugs breathe through their bodies, and when their little bodies are covered in soap, they can't breathe, they die. So insects in the soil are very tough to actually coat in soap. It's an awful lot of soap. And that's one of the reasons that, so yeah, theoretically, yes, and for sure, you will find that some insects will, you know, lower the population. You'll never actually eliminate the entire population of all the things in your soil and your lawn, though. So 90% dead is now. Do you have any idea? Is it grubs, do you think, or are you seeing?
Yes, it's a cinch bug and the white worms.
Oh, okay.
And I've lost 90%, and I got a lot of lawn.
Yeah, really. So it's very, very yellow where the cinch bug have done their damage, and
yeah,
then, of course,
the whole lawn is just dead.
So it all starts, and I know it's a huge job. If it's a huge lawn, it does start with removing the dead, raking out the dead.
I see.
Top dressing with some soil, overseeding with some seed. Your window of opportunity to actually put seed down is kind of on the edge, the end of it now, being mid-October. But if it's a huge lawn, I would be inclined to spread some seed now this fall and expect to reseed again next spring and, you know, fill in some of the patches. But yeah, it's a big job, and it's a tough thing. I mean, it was very dry summer, and that's where the cinch bug go to town. They love the dry.
Right.
And the grubs seem to have survived better than anybody expected the dry. They normally like moisture in order for their eggs to hatch. And apparently there was sufficient soil moisture for a lot of grub eggs to hatch this past August. So, yes, the lawns are taking a beating. There's no question.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Sorry about that. And good luck.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye now.
But keep in touch with Charlie and let us know how it goes. Meantime, speaking of going, I'm going over to the other side of the room. Continue my. I didn't get very many knee bends done.
That
so
one
I'm,
knee bend,
I'm
I think.
Getting up and moving to the other side of the studio.
He's okay. Such an active character, I tell you that, Frank.
There we are.
Oh, will you just be careful? Don't hit your head on that speaker.
I think one's enough for now.
All right. So. Sierra Silman here is getting his exercise in because he's feeling good and active, and he wants to stay good and active. And Sierra Sil helps both Frank and I to maintain activities with reduced aches and stiffness. Completely natural mineral supplement designed to keep those joints moving as smoothly as possible. For more information, 1-877-JOINT-14. Give him a call. Check out them on the web, SierraSil.ca, or go to your local health food store, including the Peanut Mill in St. Catharines and Essence of Life in Chinatown in Toronto. They all carry Sierra Sil.
SierraSil.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, phlox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
And the sous chef Frank Proctor along for the ride here on a Saturday morning that's rather chilly.
Crispy.
And from the notes left by our producer, Christina, I see that John in Mississauga is going to give us the latest poop from Mississauga. hello, John.
Good morning, Frank.
How are you?
Good morning,
Charlie.
Good morning, John.
Well, you're in the city of Mississauga, the best mayor in the world.
Yep.
Say hi to Hazel.
yes, Charlie, I took all my tomatoes and all my garden stuff is clean. Mm-hmm. I roll tortilla it or, you know, turn it.
Mm-hmm.
I bought some cow and sheep manure.
Mm-hmm.
Is it better to put it now or in the spring?
This is bagged manure that you composted, bagged manure?
Yes.
Is it better? It doesn't really matter either, fall or spring. The one time when we definitely put it on in the fall is if it's what we call green manure, or in the case of manure, it's a fresh, not composted.
No, I think it's composted.
Yeah, if it's bagged, it's composted, so it's not going to burn anything. But if it's really fresh, like right out of the barn, that's
got to go on
in the fall.
That.
Yeah. So, whatever's easier for you, it won't matter either way. I find if you put it on now, then as the soil is starting to thaw and all the worms and everybody's waking up in your soil, they'll start moving and shaking and stirring your soil for you. So that is the advantage of doing it now. Is you let the bugs do the stir. You don't have to get out there and break your back and do it.
And I've been keeping our, you know, tell my wife to keep, you know, the eggshells.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do, I keep the eggshells. I keep maybe, I don't know, 2-3 dozen. And then I how to call it, crush them a little bit and spread them around.
Good idea.
What do eggshells do to the garden, if I may ask you, please?
Okay, a couple of things. Eggshells, when they're crushed up small, are very sharp, little, almost like shards of glass.
Uh-huh.
Slugs and crawling insects or young, even ants and earwigs, their little bellies drag across the ground. They don't like shards of glass, and they will avoid plants that are surrounded by crushed eggshells. Uh-huh. So it's a mechanical protection.
Okay.
The other thing that eggshells do is that they slowly but surely decompose. So as they're decomposing, they release what they're made out of, which is calcium and phosphorus and carbon and that sort of thing, which is good for the garden. Mm-hmm. All micronutrients that are required by all plants include calcium, and a macronutrient that's required is phosphorus. So you are actually providing nutrient when you're putting eggshells in. It's not an immediate nutrient. It takes years and years for those eggshells to really break down.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, you know, again, lightens the soil. If you've got a very heavy clay soil, provides some mm-hmm. pore spaces for moisture and air to get through. So it's a good organic amendment to any soil.
Uh-huh. Can I make a comment regarding the grubs, Charlie, please?
Sure.
This, you know, I do like Frank there. I go to the gym too, you know.
Good for you.
A friend of mine at the gym, he told me to use hydrogenated lime.
Okay.
So I mixed it with the water. Mm-hmm. I mixed it good and I just sort of sprinkled.
Okay.
I don't know how successful I am. I only have it on the boulevard, lucky enough.
All right. Yeah, because that's often very stressed. It's a stressed lawn out on the boulevard.
You know? Mm-hmm. So, to tell you the truth, I have some left, and I was going to use this
hydrated lime, I think, is what you've got. Hydrated.
Can I put that in the garden, too?
Okay, so keep in mind, when you add hydrated lime to anything,
uh-huh.
you are going to affect the pH and, again, the chemistry of the soil.
Uh-huh.
It is, lime is calcium, and so you've got to be careful. You've got eggshells going in, providing calcium. You start adding lime, you're adding uh-huh. more calcium. So you can get your chemistry of your soil all out of whack by adding too many things. I would be careful with that.
I don't do it, Charlie.
Okay.
You know? Thank you very much.
Okay.
Always a pleasure hearing from you guys.
Thanks, John.
Take care. You take care and say hi to Hazel now, for gosh sakes. Huh? Angela in Toronto, anxious to speak to Charlie right now. Good morning, Angela.
Hi, Frank. Hi, Charlie.
Hi there.
Hi. I'm calling because I want to find out how I can best bring in my geraniums, like save them for next year.
Mm-hmm.
And without bringing them inside the house, because I'm afraid that there could still be little critters in there.
Mm-hmm. Are they in pots or in the ground?
In pots.
Okay, and did you get a frost last night?
Just a little bit.
Because geraniums, they're actually a pretty tough plant, but they won't have liked any extreme frost. So I was just going to say that you might be past your window there, but perhaps not. Okay, if you don't want to bring them in the house, do you have a shed or an insulated garage or anything like that?
A garage I have.
Okay. If your garage is one that's attached to the house and is got some insulation, it's likely that it will never go below freezing in your garage. And if you can keep the geraniums, see, the bottom line is they need to be kept someplace frost-free.
Okay.
If the garage is frost-free, you can keep the geraniums alive. All you'll do is cut them down today, move them into the garage, you know, give them a sort of a water, a brush off, clean them up, but leave them in the pots. Just cut them down and move them into the garage. If there's a bit of light in there, then they may want to grow a bit. If it's a dark garage, they won't. But they're likely to survive as long as they can be kept frost-free.
So I have a garage, and I have like a shelf in the garage, which is the shelf is towards the house,
mm-hmm.
not on an outside wall. So if mm-hmm. I put them all on top of there and just cut them down now, they should be okay.
They should be okay. Do check them every month or so, even if it means getting up on a ladder with a flashlight. Just make sure that to keep them alive, there's this fine line. Too much water in the pots and they'll rot. not enough water in the pots, and they'll get all wrinkled up.
Well, do I have to water them in the winter?
You may not. It kind of just depends on what kind of temperatures are in your garage and how big the plants are that you're putting away. So just keep an eye on them. Just keep, you know, like I said, if they get all wrinkly, you're going to give them a bit of water. If they're not wrinkly, then just leave them alone.
Okay.
Okay.
So I should do that today then?
I would if you can.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Okay, you're very welcome.
Thanks for joining the show, Angela.
Oh, you're welcome.
All righty, have a great weekend, and we'll be back to talk to more listeners in just a couple of moments here at AM 740, Charlie Dobbin's Garden Show, on the air from Zoomer Radio.
Don't change the radio station. Just because the weather changes, garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
Yeah, we're back on now with, hello, where we go? There we are. Okay. Yeah. my mic just didn't want to work there for a minute. Richard on the line from St. Catharines. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Morning.
I got a money tree.
I want one of those. Kidding. Wait, what's a money tree?
I don't know. That's what they called it when we bought it. It was a money tree.
Okay, is that it? So it's inside your house?
Big pardon?
Is it inside or outside?
It's inside, but it's 5 feet high now.
Oh, okay.
And I was wondering if I could put it outside. Do you know what a money tree is?
Well, that's what I'm just double checking. What's a money tree?
I wonder if it's a monkey tree.
No. I don't think so. No. Images from...
We bought it at a Chinese store.
All right, okay. Does it actually look like a little tree, like what's got like a stem and leaves, or is it more... tell me the shape of the leaves. Actually, I think it's
The shape of the leaves. They are... Just a minute. Stretch this phone over here. they're on a branch, a little branch, and there's 1, 2, 3, 6 leaves at the end of the little stem.
Yeah, and it's like almost like a hand.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the leaves are long.
Yeah. But yeah. It's how tall did you say it is? 5 feet tall?
Beg pardon?
How tall did you say that is?
About 5 feet.
Wow. You've been taking real good care of that. That
too bad
Chinese
it,
money.
Too bad it didn't grow money.
I'm 5'9", and it's up to my nose.
Oh, man.
Okay, so and does it have like a twisted or braided trunk? I mean, is it stand up on its own, or how does it work there?
Well, I got a stick up through the trunk.
Through the center. Okay, so now this is not a hardy plant. This cannot survive in the winter outside.
Oh, that's what I want to know.
So that's going to be your real trick. Do you have access to the internet where you live?
Big pardon?
Do you have access to the internet?
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, I just quickly looked this up here. So money tree care. Money trees are fast-growing plants. Uh-huh. Please keep money trees indoors in a well-lit area.
Uh-huh.
Brief sunlight exposure and light watering will keep the plants healthy. Let the plant dry out completely before each watering, as too much water can cause the roots to rot. Money trees rarely need watering more than once a week. And in winter, you may need to wait 2 to 3 weeks. Test dryness by inserting your finger in the soil. If it's damp, don't water. Old and damaged leaves may be cut off. New ones will grow soon. Note that if leaves are damaged in shipping, it's okay to remove them. So that'll just keep growing. That's not going to go anywhere. It's just going to get bigger. You're going to have to get a new house.
Well, we got tall ceilings.
Yeah,
I'm going to put a hole in the ceiling.
You may have to.
Thanks. You must be very popular because I had a hard time getting through, and I don't know whether it's your expert advice or... it's the humor of Frank, or better known as what's his name.
What's his name? Yeah.
Thanks for that, Richard. You're absolutely right.
Thank you, Richard.
Yes.
A little backhander there, wasn't it?
It was a bit, wasn't it? Yeah.
Let's see. We're at 9:53. We've got time for, I think, one more call. But we have to do something first, right?
I just wanted to mention the Garlic Festival are going to have somebody on your show later.
Yes. Happening today at the Brickworks, today and tomorrow for that matter.
So Evergreen Brickworks, if you want to look that up on the web.
Mm-hmm.
Brickworks actually is a very cool place with all kinds of really neat things going on. And they're having a garlic festival, so it's all about garlic.
Yeah.
So it'll be cooking
recipes
with garlic
and
planting garlic and medicinal uses of garlic. And I just wanted to mention it. I mean, if you haven't planted your garlic yet, get on it. It's the easiest plant, the easiest crop you could ever grow.
I love garlic.
So do I.
So, don't have many friends.
I know, it's kind of connected, actually. Yeah. But all you need is a place that's sunny.
Yeah.
Okay, a sunny bit of land. Now, you wouldn't do this in pots above ground because it would be unlikely to survive. But a little bit of a sunny spot, garlic, the cloves go about 2 inches down, pointy end up. Now, or in the last 2 weeks, and even right up until this weekend, they will next spring start to grow. Little green stems will come up. You just keep an eye on them to make sure that when they start to flower, you remove the flowers. And by early, sort of late July, even early August, you're digging up full cloves of garlic, and then it's beautiful. I mean, it's your own
fresh.
Homegrown.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the best.
So you want to catch that interview? It's about 1:15.
Okay,
10 after 1:15.
So that you've got like the special events person going to talk about the garlic festival.
He is the guy.
He's the guy. Nice to hear. Okay, so that's coming up on your show, and obviously I'm a big proponent of planting garlic
now. You are indeed. Well, let's see what's on June's mind. They're in Midland, where they probably had a little frost overnight, I'll bet. Hello, June.
Good morning, Charlie and Frank.
Morning.
Charlie, I had a big garden in my front lawn, and I had it taken out last fall and grass planted.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a lot of daylilies in it,
mm-hmm.
and now I've got daylilies coming up
through
all over the lawn.
The lawn. I knew you were going to say that. That's a tough one. You don't have to leave much daylily behind for them to keep on growing. So mowing the lawn mows the daylily leaves, but it's still not going to solve your problem. You're going to end up with a lawn of daylily leaves. They have to be dug up and removed. They're not going to stop growing. The only thing you could consider is, like I said, give it up, let it be a daylily lawn, which is going to look silly. It's not going to look like a proper lawn. Or get somebody who perhaps did the work for you to come back and fix that. Dig in the areas where the daylilies are coming up. Dig deep enough to get all those daylilies out and then level the lawn and get the grass back in place. Or as the daylilies are coming up in the spring, have on hand some Weed Be Gone. Or actually, I think what you would use would be something called Path Clear. It's the vinegar-based solution where you'll spray those green daylily leaves and attempt to kill the daylilies carefully, trying to avoid spraying the lawn. Eventually, you'll have the daylilies all dead, and then you'll go in and replace the lawn with some grass seed or sod or whatever the case may be.
Uh-huh. That's Weed Be Gone.
Weed,
another one?
I think Weed Be Gone will not kill your daylilies. I think Weed Be Gone only kills broadleafed plants that are growing in our lawns.
Mm-hmm.
Daylilies are not a broadleaf plant.
No.
So in order to kill the daylilies with a herbicide, I think you'll have to use something that's called Path Clear. So
Path Clear.
Yeah, P-A-T-H, Clear. And that is the vinegar-based solution. So the trick with the Path Clear or the vinegar is it's a non-selective herbicide. It will kill anything it sprays. So when you're spraying your daylilies, you're spraying carefully to not overspray and kill a lot of lawn.
Uh-huh.
That's so one or the other. Dig them up, or like I say, the other option is to just work away at killing them with the herbicide and then fix the lawn afterwards.
Uh-huh. Okay, fine. Thank you very much, Shirley.
Thank you very much, June. Just a bit of a reminder, coming up at 11 o'clock this morning, following Dave's Corner Garage, as a matter of fact, is going to be the Natural Health Show. They've got naturopaths, all sorts of specialists in the area, any area of health, and you're going to hear that from 11 through to noon. And then at noon, it's the diner, where I ask you to call me and ask a request for music, and I do my best to get them all in.
Oh, you are one talented guy.
I am. You know. Well, Charlie, what do you got planned for the weekend?
Well, I got a bunch of plants I got to soak down.
Oh, yeah.
Including my neighbor's hottest hot pepper in the world plant that he went away on a cruise and he didn't want to leave it outside and he didn't want to put it in his house. He's gone for a month. So I'm responsible for this plant.
Oh,
and it's
lovely.
Just been too cold to have it outside. I said, I'm leaving it outside, but now I've got to bring it in. It's too cold. So I'll be soaping a lot of plants that are currently in my garage. I've got a few things to do in the garden.
Yeah. Well, Di is busy with another show. She's directing another show in St. Catharines for Garden City Productions.
Nice.
And it's a fun show. It's Nonsense.
Oh,
Five
That's
nuns.
A great one.
Oh, just a riot. So tomorrow afternoon, while she is in rehearsals with all the gang, I'm going to get a bit of culture. I'm going to the Niagara Symphony Orchestra.
Nice.
Yes. At, well, it's Brock University.
Right,
and
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
trying
yeah.
to remember the name of the
Oh, there's
the hall
a hall there.
There's
a new hall, yeah. isn't it?
Seems no, it's been there for a while, oh, okay. and I just cannot, it doesn't come to mind.
At Brock.
I'll mention it
yeah.
a little later on this afternoon.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, no, it's a Pops concert. So.
Enjoy your, you know, highfalutin
yes.
lifestyle.
Ah, she'll even put on a shirt and tie.
Mm. Either that or your tux.
Yeah, no, I didn't wear pants.
Oh,
you know,
good.
Yeah.
Good for you. Frank, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Best
Charlie.
Sous chef around. Thank you, Christina. And we'll see you again all next week.